Meseches Megillah Perek Dalet Mishnah Tesen till Meseches Moed Cotton Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis. The previous Mishnah listed a number of examples of things which a person says or ways in which a person behaves which suggests that he is considered to be an apikoyres, or at least similar to an apikoyres, who is somebody who does not believe in all of the basic principles of belief in Hashem and in the Torah and the Torah being given by Hashem and other basic principles which will be developed in this Mishnah as we are going to see now. Everyone who says Yivarchucha Toivim, people who have it good should bless you, Hashem. So implying righteous people or wealthy people, people who seem to be having a very good and easy life, they should praise you, Hashem. Hazadech Aminus, that is considered to be the way of Apikorsim. It is considered heretical, since the truth is, everybody should bless Hashem, everybody should praise Hashem, and everybody can. Even those who have difficulties, even those who are not necessarily so righteous, they certainly have equal right to bless and praise Hashem. Next example, Alkan Tzipor Yagur Rachamecha. Your mercy, Hashem, reaches the nest of the bird. What does that mean? So this person is referring to the mitzvah of Shluach Hakan, of sending away the mother bird if somebody wants to take her eggs. So the mitzvah says that first he should shoo away the mother bird. And this person is suggesting that the whole reason why Hashem commanded us to send away the mother bird is because of compassion on the mother bird. We need to be moral and compassionate people, and that is the only reason why Hashem told us to do that. There is no other deeper reason, and that is why Hashem told us to do it. Again, that is considered to be heretical, because although it is certainly true that Hashem has infinite mercy and compassion on every being, but to limit Hashem's command to that is considered against basic beliefs, that we can't understand why Hashem commands things. It is beyond us. Perhaps that is sort of a hint and part of the larger reason. But at the end of the day, the reason why we fulfill that mitzvah is not because of our mercy, but it's because Hashem told us to do that mitzvah. Secondly, v'al toiv yizocher shemecha. If somebody says, for the good, your name should be remembered, Hashem. Again, that's heretical, because everything Hashem does is good. The Mishnah Bracha says that even things which appear to be bad, one needs to bless Hashem for that as well. Alright, and thirdly, moidim moidim. If somebody says moidim twice during Shemona Esrei, in all of these three cases, Meshat Kenoisai, we silence him, and the reason in the last case is because it implies that he is thanking and attributing powers to more than one power, to somebody other than Hashem Chas V'Shalom. And because of that, in all of these cases, Meshat Kenoisai, one who hears this needs to silence the person who says it because of the heresy which is contained therein. Alright, Tamachanem Bu'arroyos. One who interprets the prohibitions regarding forbidden relationships not literally. So when the Torah commands one not to have marital relations with particular relatives, so he interprets it as not shaming them, for example. And he says that that is the literal translation. So in that case as well, Meshat Kenoiso, we silence him. That implies that it is permitted to have relations with that person. And finally, Ha'omer, one who says, Umizaroch loisitein l'havri l'moylech, the explanation of the posuk which says that you should not give from your children to pass through the moylech. Moylech was a particular avodah zarah, a particular worship of idolatry where they would pass children through fire. And the punishment for that is Kores, a very severe punishment from Hashem, where he is, so to speak, cut off from Hashem in some way. But this person, instead of interpreting this posuk literally, interprets it as follows, Mizaroch loisitein l'abro b'armoyusa, that from among your children you should not give to make a Aramean woman, a non-Jewish woman from the nation of Aram, to make her pregnant. Meaning he interprets the posuk as prohibiting one to marry off their children to a non-Jewish woman. Now certainly this is forbidden. However, there is no punishment of Kores for such an avera, and so by this person interpreting this posuk and saying that its meaning is only this, so he is effectively saying that there is no Kores for the avera of passing one's children through the avodah zarah of Moilech, and there is Kores for marrying off one's child to a non-Jewish woman. That is a total distortion of the truth of Torah, and therefore Meshat Kenoisai, we silence him b'nezifa, fiercely, and we rebuke him, because this is totally misinterpreting Torah from its simple meaning. Mishnah Yud, the last Mishnah of the Masechta, returns to the subject, not quite the main subject of the Masechta, the Megillah itself, but to the subject of Kriyas HaTorah and reading the Haftorah, and the focus is different parts of Tanakh, which for whatever reason are not necessarily to be read in public and shul, or perhaps they are to be read but not translated for whatever reason, as we are going to see, or some which are indeed read and translated despite what I might have thought that it should not necessarily be read and translated, as we are going to see now. Maaser Reuven, the story of Reuven in Parshas Vayishlach, where it says that Reuven went and had relations with Bilhah, who was one of Yaakov's wives. The Gemara explains that this is certainly not literal, that Reuven, the incredible tzaddik, violated such an avera of having relations with his father's wife. Rather, it means that he caused it that Yaakov would have relations with his mother Leah instead of Bilhah. Something much, much smaller, which on Reuven's level was perhaps considered to be as severe as the avera of having relations with his father's wife, on some level. However, because everybody comes to shul, and everybody hears the Kriyas HaTorah, the more ignorant people there might understand this literally. Especially since the Meturgamon, the translator, would generally translate things in the literal way. And because of that, says the Mishnah, Maaser Reuven, the story of Reuven, Nikra v'lo Mitargem, is read as part of Kriyas HaTorah. We don't skip that part out. However, it is not translated, and therefore those who are too ignorant to understand the Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew of the Torah, so they won't even understand what the Torah said, and that won't cause any problems of them interpreting this literally. Maaser Tamar, the story of Yehuda and Tamar in Parshas Vayeshev, where Yehuda had relations with his daughter-in-law Tamar, Nikra, that is read, Umitargem, and it is translated, since at the end of the story Yehuda admitted to his sin, and there was a very much positive ending to the event, so there isn't this danger of misinterpretation by the ignorant people, and therefore it is translated, as well as being read. Maaser Egel HaRishon, the first time the Torah talks about the sin of the Egel HaZahav, Nikra Umitargem, it is read and translated. In fact, many Mefarshim explain that it is a good thing to talk about this, because when people are reminded of their sins, or their ancestors' sins, so it brings them to repent and to separate themselves from the sin. The Hasheni, however, the second time the Torah talks about the sin of the Egel HaZahav, and this is when Moshe and Aaron are talking to each other, so this part of the Torah emphasizes more Aaron HaKohen's role in the story. And because of that, Nikra v'lo Mitargem, it is read but not translated in order to preserve the honor of Aaron HaKohen. Birkas Kohanim, the Parsha of Birkas Kohanim in Parshas Nosai, and as well as that, Maaser David v'Amnon, the story in Sefer Shmuel about David and Amnon. It's really the story of Amnon, who was David's son. It's the story of his big sin. And since the Pesukim talk about him being the son of David, so in order to preserve the honor of David, both these things, Brigas Karnim and Maaser David v'Amnon, are neither read nor translated. Now the truth is, many Mefarshim actually have a different version slightly of the Mishnah, and their version, Brigas Karnim, is read but not translated, because there's no part of the Torah itself which we skip over during Kriyas HaTorah. But regarding to the HaTorah, so we can decide which parts of Nach to use as a HaTorah. But the Kriyas HaTorah, we never skip over a part of it. And so they learn that we do actually read the Birkas Kohanim, but it is not translated. And the reason why it wouldn't be translated is because those who are ignorant won't understand the Pesukim, which imply that Hashem favors Klal Yisrael more than anybody else. They'll think that it's not fair, that Hashem favors us for no reason, not because we deserve it, and because of the misinterpretations which could result, it is not translated. Continues the Mishnah, Imaftin Bamarkova. We do not use the part of Sefer Yechezkel, which talks about how Yechezkel went up to Shamayim, to the heaven in a chariot, a story which is totally difficult to understand, and which only somebody on a very high level can understand, and because of that we do not use it as a Haftorah, so that people don't come to delve into it when they are not on the level to be able to understand it, and they might come with very wrong conclusions from learning this themselves. However, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda permits it because he is not concerned that people will come to do this. Alright, and the Masechta ends off, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Em aftirim b'chodas Yerushalayim." We do not use the part of Yechezkel, which talks about the ruins of Yerushalayim and its desolate state. It is considered a lack of honor towards Yerushalayim and also towards the Jewish people, sort of quite a shameful thing, and therefore it is not used as a Haftarah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Solik Maseches Megillah, Mazel Tov. The focus of Maseches Mod Katan, a very short Masechta, only three parakim, is Chol HaMoed. As its name suggests, Mod Katan, or Chol HaMoed, it's considered to be a sort of minor Yom Tov. On the one hand, it's a Moed, which is the word used for a Yom Tov. On the other hand, it is a Moed Koton, or a Chol HaMoed, because it has certain aspects of a regular weekday. Now, there is a huge debate among the Rishonim whether the prohibition to work on Chol HaMoed is Midoraisa or Midrabanan. However, according to everybody, when it comes down to the practical halacha, just like on Yom Tov it is forbidden to perform work, all of the 39 melachos which are forbidden on Shabbos, except for those which have to do with food, are forbidden on Yom Tov. And everything which is forbidden on Yom Tov is also forbidden on Chol HaMoed. However, there are certain exceptions which allow one to perform certain types of work on Chol HaMoed. And that is a very important understanding and assumption which we have to make, that it's not that everything is permitted on Chol HaMoed, and then there are certain things which are forbidden. No! Chol HaMoed is essentially a smaller Yom Tov, and so there are prohibitions of work. However, since it's only a minor Yom Tov, there are a number of categories which we will see throughout the Masechta, which would make that work permitted. Now, even according to those who say that the prohibition of working on Chol HaMoed is Midoraisa, the way that the Torah commanded it is that the Torah said that it is in the power of the Chachomim to decide what should be forbidden. The purpose of all of the prohibitions is so that it is not treated as a regular weekday. Rather, people remember that it is considered to be a minor Yom Tov, and that the Yom Tov spirit be maintained. However, this is a unique Midoraisa commandment, according to these Rishonim, that the Torah said that it is forbidden to work in any way that the Rabbonim and the Chachomim define as prohibited work on Chol HaMoed. Now, the first exception, as it were, to the prohibition of working on Chol HaMoed is called Dover HaOved, something which would cause you a large loss if you don't perform that work. Such a thing is permitted on Chol HaMoed. And because of that, the Mishnah gives an example now of Dover HaOved, Mashkin Beis HaShalochin. It is permitted to water, to irrigate, to spread water around a field which is known as a Beis HaShalochin. Beis HaShalochin is a type of field which needs not only the rainwater in order to survive, but it also requires man to water the field in order that it get enough water. B'moed on Chol HaMoed, the reason why this is permitted is because if you weren't to water it, then the ground would become ruined, the crops might get ruined, and that damage would cause you a large loss of money. Now, we're going to see many of these Mishnayos also refer to Shemitah. Shemitah is 1 year every 7 years, during which it is forbidden to work the land for the sake of crops. Now, Midoraisa, it's only forbidden to do the forms of work which are directly related with the crops themselves. So planting and harvesting, but things which only are there to keep the ground itself healthy, such as watering the ground, Midoraisa is permitted during Shemitah. However, Midrabanan, it's generally forbidden. Nevertheless, in a case of a Dover HaOved, where it would cause a great loss not to work on the land, it is permitted, and therefore, Vashavias, also during Shemitah, one would be able to water the field to avoid the great loss which would come as a result of not watering it. Now, even a Dover HaOved is not always permitted. If it requires a great amount of effort and difficult work, so then it again goes against the spirit of Yom Tov, and even a Dover HaOved would be forbidden. And the Mishnah says that one is allowed to water the field b'mayon shiotzva tchila, whether it be from a spring of water which has just now, very recently, sprung forth. The water has only just now begun coming out of the ground at this point, and so the sides of the spring of water are relatively weak. They haven't yet been strengthened, and we don't know how strong they are. And it's relatively likely that the strong force of the water from the spring might cause the walls next to the spring of water to collapse. And if they were to collapse, then the person would end up being forced to repair these walls. However, the Mishnah says that one is still able to use such water on Chol HaMoed, because we are not concerned that the walls will collapse and he'll come to repair them on Chol HaMoed. Even if they do end up collapsing, we trust that he is not going to fix them on Chol HaMoed itself, because that would be forbidden, since it involves a large amount of effort. But since we're not concerned that he's going to do so, it is permitted to use that water to water the field, whether it be from a spring of water which has not just recently started coming out of the ground. Certainly there it would be permitted, because there the walls are stronger. However, says the Mishnah, one cannot water the field, even the field which we're talking about, with rainwater which has collected in some sort of pond. The reason being that the water in a pond, when the water goes down, and there isn't so much water in the pond, then the only way to access the water is by using a pail, like in a well that would lower down the pail and get water like that, and then have to bring it up and take the pail and water the field. That way it would require a very large amount of effort. And so even in a case where the pond is full and one doesn't necessarily need to use a pail, and so it won't be so much effort, nevertheless, it is still forbidden to use the pond of water in case you come to use it in a case where you need a pail. And on a similar note, v'lo me'a kilayin, one cannot use the water of a well, which again requires a pail, a bucket, in order to get that water, and it requires lots of effort to draw the water and then to spread it across the field. And so because it requires a lot of effort, it is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. Now that which the beginning of the Mishnah taught, ways in which it is permitted to spread water across the field, that would involve, for example, making small grooves in the ground with one's foot. It would make sort of small pathways in the ground to lead the water across the entire field. Alright, ends off the Mishnah. Vein osin ugyos lagafonim. It is forbidden to dig ditches around the roots of vines in order that the water be collected there and they have sufficient water to survive on, because again, that requires a lot of effort, and so it is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. It should be noted that the term used for this concept of having a lot of effort involved is tircha meruba, a large amount of difficulty and effort. Mishnah Beis. The Mishnah now gives more examples of tircha meruba, which is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, in osin ha'am b'tchila, it is forbidden to start digging a canal of water in a field b'moed on Chol HaMoed, because this requires a large amount of effort. As well as that, the Mishnah makes reference to Shmita again, uvashavias, and during Shmita as well it's forbidden. Not because it requires lots of effort, that makes no difference during Shmita. There's no reason to keep the Shmita atmosphere like a Yom Tov atmosphere, and the Yom Tov spirit of resting and not doing hard work. Rather, the reason when it comes to Shmita is because digging a canal of water is similar to a process which was done in fields where they would dig the ground slightly and soften the ground in order to prepare it for planting. So since that is forbidden during Shmita and digging a canal of water is very similar, the Majabonon, digging a canal is also forbidden during Shmita. However, the Chachom say, it is permitted to dig a canal of water to start with during Shmita, since according to them, it does not look like this process of softening the ground. Because over here, you're getting rid of all of the earth. You're digging a large ditch. The people can see the difference very clearly, and therefore it is permitted. Now, although it's forbidden to start digging the ditch or the canal of water during Shmita, if it was already dug but it was blocked at a particular point, so that does not require tircha meruba, a large amount of burden and effort, and therefore mesaktan in some kolkolos b'moed, it is permitted to fix the ones which are damaged or blocked up, even on Chol HaMoed this is permitted. Now the second half of this Mishnah goes on to another exception of things which are permitted on Chol HaMoed. We've had Dover HaOved, and now we've got Tzorchei Tzibur. Things which are for community purposes and needs of the public, those are permitted during Chol HaMoed. And so Masagnes Kalkuli Amayim Shabarashus HaRabim, it's permitted to fix large underground pits of water in a public domain which have become damaged. This water was collected for people to be able to drink it, and if it was damaged, then it could be fixed on Chol HaMoed, perhaps to prevent dirt coming into the water. But Chaytanesan, you can also remove the dirt and stones which have fallen into the water. And on a similar note, Umasaklan Sadrochim Vesarachivas, it's permitted to fix the roads and the streets on Chol HaMoed, Ves Mikvos Hamayim, and any mikveh of water. If it perhaps requires water to be added to it, there is a minimum volume of water which is required for every mikveh, 40 sa'ah. So if any of these public mikvahs have less than that amount of water, so there needs to be water added to them, and that should be seen to on Chol HaMoed, where people generally have more time anyway, so they can take care of public needs. They sin kol tzorcha rabim, and they can do any public needs, because since people are not working now, these things which are necessary to be done are most likely to get done now. Alright, another couple of examples. Matzanin and Sakavorais. It is permitted to mark graves with lime. They would pour lime onto graves in order to mark them very clearly to signal to people that there is tumor over here. Somebody who comes in contact or walks over even a grave becomes tomei, and he will have lots of restrictions as a result. And also it's forbidden for a kohen to become tomei at all, and therefore they need to be marked. And this is also part of the public needs, and so it can be done on Chol HaMoed, v'yotzin af al ha-kilayim, and messengers can go out, even about kilayim. Kilayim refers to the prohibition of planting two different species together. Now the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Shkolim says that in the middle of the month of Adar, the Beis Din would send out messengers to search in the fields and to check if people had planted kilayim. This Mishnah is now telling us that also on Chol HaMoed they'd go out and check, and if they found them, then they would uproot the kilayim, or they might force the owners to make the entire field ownerless, or punish them in some other way. The point of the Mishnah over here is to tell us that just like they went out in the middle of Adar, these messengers would also go out to check the fields on Chol HaMoed. One of the reasons for this is because these messengers would need to be paid, and since on Chol HaMoed it's anyway forbidden for them to do other forms of work, so they would be willing to do this for lower wages. And since the wages of these people came from the public funds, which everybody was obligated to contribute towards, so it is better that the amount which they have to pay is less. Now, it should be noted that although we have seen many leniencies over here regarding to tzorchei rabim, needs of the public, it is not so simple that anything which is for the sake of the public is permitted. According to many, it is only permitted if it is either a maisa hedyot, a term which we'll come across a number of times. Maisa hedyot means it's done in an unprofessional way. So either that, or if it is for the sake of Yom Tov, letzorech Yom Tov, then tzorchei rabim would be permitted. So either if it is a maisa hedyot, an unprofessional way or method, or if it is a tzorech Yom Tov, for the sake of Yom Tov, only then would the tzorchei rabim, the things done for the need of the public, be permitted on Chol HaMoed.